Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's talk about where Leonard Fournette ends up. Pittsburgh's been thrown out there by J-Lo. They could use someone with James Conner. I think Tennessee would be good because him and Henry could both ease their workloads because Tennessee's still paying Henry after this year. It's not like they're going to run him into the ground. Fournette wants to try to get that contract, so why not fit into a good culture and, you know, spell Derrick Henry? I think it would be good. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians is being thrown into the mix. Bruce Arians asked about that. He said, "We shall see." And the Washington Redskins were suggesting on the text line, I just don't think when you're trying to rebuild a culture in a locker room, regardless of how bad it was with Leonard Fournette, you don't want to bring in a guy that even has rumblings. He's been suspended by the team. I don't think you want to do that if you're Ron Rivera. And I don't necessarily think you're trying to win now in Washington.
You have to, if you're going to roll the dice like that, you have to at least be a contender. And I'm not saying Redskins are going to be garbage, but a team like Tampa, talk about win now with, you know, obviously with Tom Brady and Gronk and all that. Makes sense. And oh, by the way, they're 7-9. So they would have an early crack going through waivers.
Jags now have 8 picks in the first 5 rounds of the 2021 draft. 2 first round picks, a second, a third, 2 fourths, and 2 fifths, with the chance of those 2 fifths going higher. So the rebuild has begun for the Jacksonville Jags, who were in the AFC Championship 3 years ago. They are, the Titans are all in. The Texans are all in. We hear about that all the time. You have the Colts, who are conservatively all in, although they did trade a first-round pick for DeForest Buckner. Everyone is trying to at least somewhat win now while keeping some assets in the Colts' eyes, but the Jags are doing something completely different. Are you necessarily opposed to that?
If I'm the Jaguars fan, I like it as long as I would have another general manager making the picks. I mean, you can't overstate how bad their first round picks have turned out, and they're all gone. Keep in mind, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were taken after Leonard Fournette. That is an issue. I mean, the two best young quarterbacks in that draft and in the league were taken after Fournette. I mean, so I like the fact that you have all these picks. I like the fact that if you're going to rebuild, go all in. If you're going to, you know, tank, go all in. I mean, the Astros are a good example of how that can pay off. But, man, just get somebody else making the picks.
If you're going to evaluate, if you're truly evaluating Gardner Minshew and you truly want to see if Gardner Minshew can be the quarterback that's going to be the face of this rebuild or the face of the next run of Jags football, I mean, this is the way to do it. You get rid of Leonard Fournette, who's not in your long-term plans. You spread it out. I think they're going to spread the ball out a little bit more. And then you try to see if some of these young guys that you've drafted, Jawad Taylor, Josh Allen out of Kentucky, Minshew, DJ Chark, you try to see what these guys got and what these guys can bring to the table. So it's interesting to see the direction in which the Jags are going. People are already talking about Trevor Lawrence potentially being the Jags quarterback, and that's something that they build off of. I think that's something to keep an eye on. They're definitely zigging while everyone else is zagging. As for the Texans lock up Zach Cunningham. Now it's on to Deshaun Watson. That was the immediate question that was asked to Bill O'Brien. That was the immediate speculation that began. Ian Rappaport said as much. Now the attention shifts to Deshaun Watson. You actually think the way in which the Texans have been making moves this offseason, whether it's the Tunsil extension, whether it's even before that, the Whitney Merciless extension, whether it's the Cunningham, you think Deshaun Watson's sitting up pretty when it comes to getting as much as he can out of the Texans?
It doesn't suck being Deshaun Watson, that's for sure. The Texans aren't like just drastically overpaying everyone. They're just not. But they're not getting any bargains. I mean, I saw some people talk about how, you know, Zach Cunningham was a bargain. No, it's just a good solid deal. But they paid the, you know, the shelf price for Zach Cunningham. They have three linebackers on $50 million contracts. The Houston Texans have three linebackers on $50 million contracts. They're paying. They're not getting. They're not using any coupons. They're not getting any buy one get one's free. They're paying right the market price on all these guys. So clearly, Deshaun Watson, who's going to get a lot of money anyway, I think I could easily see him going for $44 million, $45 million a year, easily.
I mean,
Texans happily paying it.
Okay, what's in his best interest, though? Pat Mahomes took a little less money. Is Deshaun Watson going to take a little less money with the Texans?
No. No, I think he's going to go the other way. I think he's going to take a little more money. I've mentioned this. I think I wrote about it on sportsradio610.com a while back. I could see him getting a 7 or 8 year deal. And I might be the only person on that island. I mean, everybody's like, no way, you're crazy, 3 or 4 year deal. I could see him getting an 8 year deal, 7, 8 year deal. For a bleep ton of money, just to protect himself in case there is a turnover at the head coaching job here. At least he's still getting paid. And if he wins, he can still redo the deal. He's a quarterback. You know, do it in 4 years and still redo it.
Do you think is this a situation where it's absolutely give me the max, give me whatever I can get? Pat Mahomes did the Chiefs favors. Tom Brady's done the Patriots favors. The Texans are nowhere near close to being where those teams have been, even in recent years, with the Chiefs going to back-to-back AFC championship games and winning a Super Bowl. We know what the Patriots did for 20 years.
Yeah.
A lot of times quarterback will take less money. Quarterbacks will leave a little bit on the table to, you know, reward the guys around him. That's not going to happen with Deshaun Watson, you don't think?
No, I don't think. And really, I couldn't see it happening anyway, just because there a lot of these other deals are getting done before Watson. In the Chiefs' case, they got done. Mahomes got his deal done so they could have the money to get these other deals done. The Texans don't have a lot of guys that they still, you know, have to pay outside of a Deshaun Watson that are coming up. I mean, they've got. I mean, I'm looking at it, dude. Not really anybody of note that they have to save money for now.
Should Deshaun just wait this out? Or do you just get it done as soon as possible? I mean, what's in his best interest? I mean, obviously you risk injury if you go back on the field. Obviously you would like to get that new deal. You don't know how much the cap's going to go up. You got to assume eventually the NFL will get back to a point where these quarterbacks are making, I mean, they really never left it, but the cap's going to continue to rise. Could waiting it out actually benefit Deshaun Watson?
No.
I mean, you get to see what the organization looks like. If Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby truly look like they know what they're doing this year, it's not like his value is going to decrease, but the value of the organization and the desperation of the organization could decrease.
Take advantage of it. That's what I think he's
going to
do.
But then all of a sudden you could be in la-la land where all of a sudden you're committed to an organization and you're taking more money from an organization and you're indirectly handcuffing them from improving the talent, and you're basically married to an organization while guys like Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson are part of organizations that have longer shelf lives and have longer staying power.
But he's a realist. I mean, he understands that if he's going to have to be here and they're not winning, there's going to be a new coach. There will be a new – even Bill O'Brien has a shelf life, as hard as that seems to be right now. If he doesn't win in the next 2 years, he's gone. At least Deshaun Watson will have his money. And I know that sounds awful and selfish.
No, it's not.
Guess
it's
what?
Get your money. No. It's not about selfish.
It's not his problem.
It's about trusting an organization. Because as much as Deshaun Watson wants to get that bread, he's going to have generational wealth no matter what. They want to win.
Right.
Like Pat Mahomes wants it too. Yeah. He wants to win. Pat Mahomes wants to win. Tom Brady wanted to win. Deshaun wants to win. If the Texans were built like the Chiefs, if the Texans were the Chiefs right now and they had that core and they had that shelf life, I could see Mahomes, I could see Deshaun Watson saying, okay, I'm going to take the Mahomes deal.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he do that at this point?
I think he, and again, I know I'm the only one thinking this way, but it just makes sense to me if I were representing Deshaun to get your second contract, get $44 million a year or whatever it is, and then let this play. You're betting on yourself on being around for another 10 years. You're not going to be playing for Bill O'Brien the whole time. But if Bill O'Brien screws this up, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby screw this up, at least for the next 2 years, you're going to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the highest paid right there with Patrick Mahomes. And then he's gone. Then he's gone, and then you can either, you know, go with the next head coach, next regime, and get it done that way or whatever. You got to get it now. There is no reason for him to put this off. Why?
So you think he should hold out?
No, well, I mean, I think he might have to.
I mean, how aggressive should he come?
Yeah, he might have to, but I don't
when?
Know. No, I'm saying he might not. I'm not talking about holding out. I'm saying he might have to play another year under this deal, but I think they're going to do everything.
Well, he's playing
can.
2 years under the rookie deal no matter what.
No matter what, but he gets the bonus money and all that stuff right away and all that.
I think the most important deal, though, for all of this was Zach Cunningham. I think you had to keep a guy like Zach Cunningham. I think you paid market value here. I think all the other extensions that the Texans have handed out, I think you could look at them and you could say logically, what?
Yeah.
Whitney Merciless wasn't going to get that on the open market. What are you guys doing? He completely fell off last year. That to me, you could look at that and say, okay, I'm a little confused by that. Nick Martin's one of the 5-6 highest paid centers in the NFL. Okay, we'll see what happens there. Laremy Tunsil, okay, you got your left tackle, but he's the highest paid left tackle of all time, and quite frankly, you didn't have any choices.
Yeah.
Zach Cunningham, I thought he was going to get Quan Alexander-like money. Alexander got 4 years, 54. He got 4 years, 58. I think if Zach Cunningham would have even done the exact same thing he did last year as an unrestricted free agent.
Oh, he'd be.
I think he would have gotten maybe even more than the 458. So I can look at that deal and say that makes sense. Deshaun, though, keep an eye on this.
Oh, it's going to be enormous.
It might be more than Mahomes.
Enormous.
It could. I mean, there was a time.
Be right there with him.
I mean, Derek Carr has been the highest paid quarterback
the
in
Texans,
the NFL, as
here's
Garoppolo.
The other thing.
The next guy in line is usually the highest paid.
Here's the other thing. If I'm Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, I'm paying him. Sure. You want 45? Sure. Here's the money. I'll spend Cal McNair's money. Why not? Because if I'm right, nobody's going to complain. If I'm wrong, it's going to be somebody else's problem.
Peace out.
Yeah.
Peace out. Chunk up the deuce. That's the OG.
How much
John
you want,
Lopez.
Sean? Here's the checkbook. Why don't you fill it in?
Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. Do people still write checks?
I guess not.
Do you? When's the last time you wrote a check?
Ooh, can't remember.
Figgy, when's the last time you wrote a check?
Shoot, probably 2009.
Figgy Fig, not writing checks. Sean Pendergast, doubt he writes checks. He's going to join us in a sec. He caught up with Bill O'Brien and talked to him about the Clowney and the Tunsil trades a year after the fact. Let's talk to Sean about the one-year window of the AFC South then to now next.
All right. Let's go inside the bubble from Texans training camp with Sean Pendergast.
All right, Sean's been on the scene. He caught up with Bill O'Brien yesterday. Before we go to Sean Pendergast and talk about the one-year assessment of the Houston Texans, let's hear the, I'm going to call it an exclusive interview. Screw it.
All right.
I'm going to build up that FOMO, as they say. The exclusive interview between Sean Pendergast and Bill O'Brien.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Sean.
Tomorrow will be the one-year anniversary of the day last year where you made all those trades with the Dolphins and the Seahawks. And I'm guessing it's less busy this year than it was last year for you at this time. I'm just curious, with a year's worth of data now, how do you feel about what that day has meant to your football team?
Yeah, look, I think that was, a day where, you know, we made some moves that we felt were in the best interest of the team, not only last year, but moving into the future. I believe that if you look at the players that we were able to acquire, or maybe you know, whether it was a pick that we used or, you know, to acquire a player, I believe it made us a better team. You know, look, I have trouble remembering my own wedding anniversary, so I'm glad you brought up that anniversary. But yeah, I mean, look, I think that this year is a little bit different. I wouldn't expect us to celebrate that anniversary tomorrow with a bunch of trades, but you never know. But I do think that it improved our team. Did it improve it to where we want to be? No, but everybody's involved in that, right? Coaching, playing, you know, we've won a bunch of games over the last couple of years, but we all know that us and the city of Houston want us to do better. We're working hard to do better, but I do believe that day made us a better team both last year and in some ways into the future.
All right, let's go out to Sean Pendergast. You just heard his voice. Sean, do you agree that the Texans are a better team now and into the future, like Bill O'Brien just said?
I think they're definitely a better team now than they were, you know, a year ago today before all those trades happened. I think they definitely are, because not only did they fortify one of the most important positions on the team in left tackle, but I feel like Tunsil was not only a much better left tackle than the guys they'd been trotting out there since Duane Brown, but I feel like there was sort of a solidifying effect throughout the year on the offensive line too. And Tunsil was, you know, it's one of those chemistry groups where you get one big player like that, it has a ripple effect on the rest of the guys. So I think offensively they're undoubtedly better. And then, you know, the Clowney trade, I think, look, we'd all like to have seen them get more for Jadeveon Clowney. I think that one is, I think that O'Brien, when he took over as GM, probably didn't inherit the best situation for a GM with Clowney. You know, I think if O'Brien had his druthers, he would have tried his hardest to move Clowney before the draft in 2019.
Yeah.
So he was kind of paddling upstream anyways with Clowney. Should he have got more for Clowney? I mean, yeah, probably more than a third round pick. I mean, the Jags just got a second and a fifth for Ngakoue over the weekend. But I do. I think they're a better team now. Now, in the future, now you're factoring in all those draft picks that got traded.
Exactly.
And they don't have a first and second round pick this year, and you had to spend big on Tunsil to keep him. And, you know, so the future obviously is TBD. But I'm cool with most of what happened as it turns out that day a year ago.
Well, you know, Sean, I'm cool with absolutely the Tunsil trade, even though you paid an awful lot, because I was right there with you. I kept saying every day, you got to do it. You have to have a left tackle. You got to do it.
Yeah.
That said, and maybe I'm oversimplifying this, are you a better team? The record says you're not. I mean, you know, and forget the actual regular season record. I mean, where you're going in the postseason says you've hit the ceiling, and you've hit it repeatedly. So really this year is when you have to determine, are you really better or not?
Yeah, and I think O'Brien acknowledged that in the answer. Where, I mean, yeah. he's I think the one thing that he's become very aware of and self-aware of is doing anything that's self-congratulatory right now.
You know what? It's
and
funny. Let me stop you real quick, because he glossed over. I'm so glad you said that, and I'll let you finish your point, because I was listening.
Yeah.
And he just said, yeah, we've won a lot of games. But, I mean, normally he'd say, like, we've won division title. You know, he's more adamant about it. It's really funny.
Yeah, no, I think he hears what the general criticism is out there of the regime as a whole when it comes to just the bottom line results. And I think there's even part of Bill O'Brien that sort of realizes, like, yeah, these AFC South divisions, they're hard to win, and it's the NFL, and, you know, we were one of the final eight teams last year. But especially once you get a franchise quarterback like they have now, it's one thing for you to tout the AFC South championships when Brock Osweiler and Brian Hoyer are your quarterbacks. But Deshaun Watson, you know, it cuts both ways. I mean, Deshaun, his greatness is going to protect a lot of people in that building, but his greatness is also should create a standard where we all seek more.
Right.
And I think O'Brien has kind of changed his tune on anything about, like, hey, man, I don't think you'll catch Bill O'Brien ever again like he did couple years ago, going AFC South champs, Brian. AFC South champ. You know, I think he knows, like, those days are gone. You're being held to a different standard, and so I think what you just said, John, I think he knows that.
Yeah.
Sean Pendergast joining us 10 days away from Texans versus Chiefs. The extensions that have been handed out during the King Bill era, and I'm talking about just since Brian Gain left. I think in the different ways in which you evaluate extensions, with each of them, you could say, I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. The Cunningham one, to me, is the only time that I saw like a significant extension from the Texans. And I said, you know what? I think that this was in the best interest of both the Texans and the actual player. I thought this extension was very, very important to get done to avoid unrestricted free agency of both Cunningham and Will Fuller at the same time. And quite honestly, I think if Cunningham even does exactly what he did last year, I think someone's going to give him similar money to what he got.
Well, it's the first one, Landry, of the ones that they've taken care of guys internally where I feel like they're not paying a hometown premium. You know, people talk about hometown discounts. Yeah. It feels like on some of these, the Texans have been paying a hometown premium because guys are DTS, you know, dependable, tough, smart. You know, I don't know that Whitney would have gotten $13 million a year on the open market if he had hit free agency. I don't know that Nick Martin would have gotten $11 million a year, although Martin would have hit free agency now, you know, after the 2019 season. So, you know, by then maybe he had proven enough to the league to where he'd be worth that. Who knows? You're right. Cunningham is one where I go, man, if he built on last year the way he built on 2018 into 2019, then he's probably starting to bump up into that Bobby Wagner money somewhere, like $16, $17 million a year. So, yeah, I'm cool with it. I think what's going to get really interesting is that O'Brien, O'Brien doesn't have a lot of contracts that I can think of that are on the books right now where I go, boy, that is a hell of a shrewd deal right there.
Right.
Bradley Roby, maybe if you get 16 games out of Bradley Roby, like the 10 that you got last year, then maybe you look at that one and go, you know, $10.5 million for Bradley Roby is pretty good. But for the most part, he's paying sticker price on a lot of this stuff. And they're not going to be able to do that anymore. I mean, the cap is going to go down, and you're going to be paying a quarterback, we hope, at some point here pretty soon. So that's what, to me, where it gets real interesting, juggling all these cap dollars here. Like, it's going to get really difficult. And they've got guys, I think Justin Reed fits the Zach Cunningham model a year from now. And I think 2 years from now, you could say Titus Howard and Max Sharping are going to be guys that they want to keep. So it the math gets really daunting here in the next year or so.
Well, you know, you and I talked about that at the end of your show. I totally agree.
Yeah.
That's been my point the whole time. They walk onto a car lot, they see the sticker and say, sure, I'll take it. I mean, it's not how you do business normally, but what do they care? And then that's what I mentioned to you earlier, you know, seriously now. What do they care? If they win and get where they need to be, then nobody's going to complain about them maybe having to let go of a bigger contract because they will have won already, and that's the whole idea. If they don't, they're gone.
The risk, John, the risk is that the upside is you become the Eagles from a couple of years ago where they, you know, they were spending. They had a quarterback on his rookie contract in Wentz. Ironically, it's Foles that actually led them to a Super Bowl. But they were a team that spent, and it worked out. They won, and now they're an average team because they're digging out from underneath it, and they had to pay Carson Wentz. I think the danger is that you become the Jaguars or the Rams where mm-hmm. you spend, you create a window, and the window becomes very finite. And you don't win the Super Bowl. Now, the caveat there is that Deshaun Watson is just better than the quarterbacks that were on all those teams I just named. He's better than Wentz. He's better than Goff. Obviously, like, you're better than Bortles. I think Deshaun changes the calculus a little bit, but you're right. The dynamic is similar in that, you know, the money runs out eventually. You know what I mean? And they haven't been Philip Ryan and Jack Easterby have not had to deal with that dynamic yet. That's gonna get interesting.
Sean Pendergast joining the show. Sean, before we let you go, I got to tell you, congratulations. Manti Te'o is married.
Yeah.
He's officially married, and it is a real person. I know that's another proud Notre Dame Fighting Irish alum. Congratulations on that. It's a big step.
Big news. That's huge. That's huge news. I'm very happy. Are we sure it's not a hologram? Like, I know the previous one was just a, you know, some dude at the other end of a chat room or something like that. I know that there's an actual picture of somebody. Do we know it's a real person?
Given the circumstances that we are all living under right now, it could have been a virtual wedding. So it's still not 100%. It's still not 100% that it's an actual person.
Yeah, I mean, he consummated the other one, and you know, over whatever the medium was back in 2012. Like, now it's just Zoom, man. That's all it is. Thank you, though, Landry. I appreciate that. I need to get him a gift. Thanks for the reminder.
There you go.
There we go. Sean Pendergast with his practice updates a couple days after talking to B.O.B. about that one-year Clowney window. Sean, we always appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Have a good show.
All right. Very active NFL, 10 days away from Texans versus Chiefs. The Astros. Houston Astros usually pretty active on this day, but they're sitting pretty in the Rockets with an opportunity to face the King. The Hits next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, a lot of times media types say you don't trade someone within the division. You don't trade them within the division. To me, it's always been laughable because if you think your team gets better, why are you even worrying about sending a player who you don't want to another team? Apparently,
I totally
the Rangers
agree.
Subscribe to that theory because the Texas Rangers have traded left-hander Mike Minor to the Oakland A's for two players to be named later. Now, you're an Astros fan. You're looking up at this because this is the bread between you and the AL West. You're 2.5 behind the A's. You're 6.5 in front of the Rangers. The Mariners have already unloaded some of their current talent for young talents. This is good for the Astros because the two teams behind them chasing them for that number two spot in the AL West, which will get you into the tournament, and there's no real home field advantage outside of batting order, they're showing right now as the MLB trade deadline approaches in a few hours, they're not trying to win. So the Astros are sitting there with a comfortable, cushy 6.5 game lead, waiting for Alex Bregman to get healthy, waiting for Michael Brantley to be able to play the outfield. Waiting for George Springer to get right. Maybe Justin Verlander ramps it up a little bit. Astros sitting pretty, and the teams in their division besides the Oakland A's, they're not even trying to win.
They're not. I mean, the Astros are going to be in. And you've talked about it multiple times. Just get to the bubble. Get to the bubble and see what happens. I think the A's are in a position right now where they're just accumulating everything they can to finally – you know, win that American League championship.
On the Texans practice field today, not participating, rookie Isaiah Coulter, Philip Gaines, the cornerback, Jonathan Grenard, the outside linebacker. That's something to keep an eye on because he's missed almost a week or maybe even over a week, and Kiki Coutee was on the field. So
that's
little
huge.
Fracture that we talked about a week plus ago, Kiki Coutee looks like he's going to be ready to go maybe when the season starts. Don't know if he's going to be able to beat out DeAndre Carter just yet, but Kiki Coutee on the practice field getting some work in.
Well, DeAndre Carter helped himself a lot during the interim when Kiki was not out there. I still think Kiki's up against it. I still think he's in a spot where he's got a lot left to prove. Despite, I mean, you like him, I like him. A lot of people understand the potential there. But, you know, we saw it during this, Will. We saw it through Sean Pendergast's eyes during the scrimmage and in other areas where DeAndre Carter was making some hay while he was gone. So I think Carter still has the advantage here.
He has the advantage.
Yeah.
But if Kiki can look right, I think eventually he might get a chance to overtake DeAndre Carter for the punt return spot. This is the third straight day that Kiki's been out there. So stacking up those days is a good thing. Shout out to Aaron Reese of The Athletic for that. But where's the team at? Because we're 10 days away from Texans versus Chiefs Thursday Night Football right here on Sports Radio 610, the return of the Texans, the return of the NFL. Bill O'Brien met with the media types minutes, and I mean minutes, before the Texans hit the practice field. This is what he had to say about the current state of the squad.
I feel good. There's so many unknowns, John. I mean, but, you know, what am I going to say? Like, I feel bad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel very good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know any other way to answer that question. Yeah, there's things we got to work on, but I'm very positive about this team. I feel good about the team. I've got to stay healthy. Things have to fall in line. We've got a lot of good players that are playing hard, and I like where we're at right now.
I just like the way Bill O'Brien, you know, and again, it might have something to do with, you know, how Jack Easterby kind of says things without really saying any substance. Bill O'Brien is just coming across as much more candid, much more honest in his assessment of everything this year.
Big news of the weekend for the Texans. Speaking of Bill O'Brien, King Bill, the GM, his right-hand man, Jack Easterby. They made another move. It was keeping one of their own players. They've said that's a goal. Here is the news courtesy of Ian Rappaport, a.k.a. Bill O'Brien's right-hand man. Just kidding. Here's Ian Rappaport on the report.
Really one of the more underrated players in the NFL, but if you watch the Texans defense, this is a big-time disruptive force and just got paid like that. Cunningham gets paid for the Texans. There's really only one more big-time guy left to get paid. That is Deshaun Watson. Obviously, they have been talking. We'll see if that is able to get done before the season.
And it has to now, doesn't it? I mean, I know, you know, hey, negotiations fall apart and all of a sudden, you know, they put things on hold. But if you get it done right now, as you mentioned earlier, he'll still have the rookie contract to play out before this kicks in. But he'll get that big, big bonus and everybody's happy. Everybody in the Deshaun Watson camp is happy. I think they just got to get it done right now just for his own, just for relationship purposes, right? Just having him pulling in the same direction, happy that he's got a new deal. Everybody knows where the franchise is headed.
Now, usually when a move happens, it's Bill O'Brien getting the credit. It's Bill O'Brien getting the blame.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill O'Brien, when he met with the media ties before practice today, wanted to make it clear that it wasn't just him who got this deal done with Zach Cunningham.
To be very, very honest with you, Jack did a lot of this negotiation. You know, I'm coaching the football team. We have a very unique model. I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again, and I don't mind saying it. Jack and I work together. We're all in charge of different things. So relative to how a general manager's position has been defined in the past may not be exactly the way we do it. That makes sense. You know, I coach and I work with Jack, and he works extremely hard with the things that he's in charge of. He oversees a lot of different things, from medical to training. He works on contracts with Kevin, and you know, we work together. It's a team. It's a team, and hopefully we can win and prove that that's the way to do it.
Okay, they might win, but I don't know if this is going to be the way that teams do it in the future. I know coaches have more power. They're getting paid more, so they're going to have more power in any organization.
Does that not scare you, though?
What part of it?
The fact that they think they're like progressive or something like that, like they're different.
Don't get me wrong. It's definitely different.
We've said it's different.
Yeah.
But when Bill O'Brien says, you know, this isn't like other teams, and hopefully we prove, like, it almost, whenever people are progressive, a lot of times they get a little bit more loose. Maybe they think they're doing a little bit more than they are. There's been a lot of progressive things in sports. Is what they're doing really like progressive? You basically have a coach that has a lot of
it's
power,
different.
And you have a de facto GM who basically handles himself like an athletic director and does anything. I mean, if the grass needed to be mowed in front of the stadium by the Bulls, by the media entrance, I think Jack Easterby would go find a riding lawnmower and take it out there and mow the grass. I think that's how committed he is to doing everything. Is this progressive or is it just a little weird?
I mean, we'll find. I guess it's.
It could be both. Don't you think
we'll
progressive is going to be a hindsight thing?
Progressive has a good connotation, right? So we'll see if it's going to be progressive. It's definitely different. But what's so funny about this is Bill O'Brien was not the named general manager when Rick Smith was here and Brian Gain was here. And yet he had a lot of power.
Now that he has the title,
like
he doesn't
the general
mind giving
manager.
Credit.
And now that he actually is the general manager, he's like, I'm not really doing it all right now. It's bizarre. It's different. We'll see if it's progressive and successful. But the other part of this is Jack Easterby. He's gone from, like, not even being in the building a couple of years ago to the most powerful person in the building.
He's handling training. He's handling COVID medical preparation. He's handling contract situations. He's handling medical.
Mm-hmm.
Just
day-to-day operations.
We're really blessed.
Yeah.
There's been day-to-day operations, guys. This guy's doing literally everything.
Everything.
This is the
contract negotiation.
He is
salary
the,
cap.
He's the Michael Jordan of I Got This Guy.
I thought Bill O'Brien
Do you not think that? John.
Oh, 100%.
No, but for you, though, but for you especially, because you and I have done this together this is our 563rd show. You've always said that one of the biggest problems with Bill O'Brien, on top of the obvious, is he's the I got this guy. And that's kind of troubled you. Does it not somewhat trouble you or concern you that now all of a sudden his right-hand man is basically the I got this guy on steroids, and he's handling a lot of stuff behind the scenes, even on a different level where you would think that it requires certain levels of expertise? Does that not worry you? And I'm not sitting here saying Jack Easterby goes and does the medical stuff himself. They obviously have doctors in place.
But
they
he's just hands on.
But he's all over the place and he's hands on. And a lot of times in any area of work, it's good to have a hands-on boss, but when a hands-on boss has weaknesses and doesn't know what to do in certain situations in any way, when he's overly hands-on, a lot of times it doesn't benefit an organization.
No, and again, to have that kind of a rapid rise that quickly and be in control of everything while Bill O'Brien all of a sudden can make can have that much trust in him. And that's another part of this, Landry. You never really got the feeling, no matter what they said at first, that Bill O'Brien trusted Rick Smith and vice versa. You never got the feeling, even though they said this was going to be in alignment, that Bill O'Brien trusted Brian Gain and it was reciprocal. Bill O'Brien trusts Easterby with everything.
And the problem is, I think that it's good that he finally is trusting somebody, but I just don't know if this is the right one of the three you just mentioned to trust. Like, I almost would have wanted to trust the process of Brian Gain or trust Rick Smith a little bit more and just go out there and coach. Mm-hmm. Although they don't agree on players, so I think Bill O'Brien has a bigger say in personnel. I don't know enough about Jack Easterby to know whether or not that's a good thing. And I think that's only fair. That's not a criticism. Jack Easterby, this is a crazy-ass path for having this much power in an NFL organization, Jack Easterby. I don't know if trusting Jack Easterby this much is a good thing. It's to be determined. But it's clearly there, and it's clearly happening.
All that said that we're talking about and that I find so bizarre, I'm so happy that this is the way it is, and there's no more, well, who's doing what? You know, they're both saying what they do. Bill O'Brien clearly is not shirking the responsibility of his title as general manager, but he's just saying that Jack Easterby is kind of handling a lot of the heavy lifting while he's in coaching mode. I'm happy. I think all Texans fans should be happy that these are the dudes. There's nobody else making... Hold on.
Wait, what?
Hold on. These are the two guys in charge.
Huh?
There's no one else making any decisions.
That should make you happy?
Because they're either going to be a success or they're going to be gone. They can't say in a, after next year.
So you think this eliminates the J-Lo theory to, quote, kick the can down the road?
Yes, that's a good way to put it. He's been real good about, well, I never really have. Let's go through the whole kick the can down the road tenure of Bill O'Brien. He gets here. Really, really good, you know, relationship, they said, with Rick Smith. That you start to see some cracks there. Well, I don't have a quarterback. So he starts going through quarterbacks. Who did he all go through? Fitzpatrick, Hoyer, Mallett for a little bit. Well, we really need a quarterback. He lets these stories get out there. John McClain and others around this team are all reporting, yeah, you know, maybe once he gets a quarterback, then they make the playoffs the second year. Then they're still trying to find a quarterback. Well, if they only had a franchise quarterback, well, what about these players that he's not getting along with? Arian Foster leaves. Well, now we need a running back and a receiver. Hopkins becomes the number one. Keeps kicking the can down the road. All we need is one more thing. All we need is one more thing, and we'll deliver for you, Houston. Well, now I'm so glad that this is it. No more kicking the can down the road. If they fail, they're out. If they succeed, we're all stupid, and they're not going anywhere. It's done. It's absolutely done.
And we are 10 days away, and we're going to get more into that at noon. The kicking, the RIP to kicking the can. I think that's a great theory that we'll get into at noon. We're going to start lunch off with that. But moves are being made right now, 10 days away. Texans are actually releasing some guys.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, Texans tight end, we told you earlier, Dylan Stapleton, he suffered a small fracture in his shoulder. Texans are going to have an injury settlement with the undrafted tight end, which means Kahale Waring's spot on the roster likely safe. Now, a lot of times when something happens with a third-string quarterback, it's not a big deal, but the Texans have cut QB Alex Magoo, which means Magoo, however you want to pronounce it. Magoo. He is a guy who would have been the emergency quarterback. They worked out Cody Kessler last week. This is an important year to keep three quarterbacks. So you got to think the Texans could be adding a quarterback very soon to add to Deshaun Watson and A.J. McCarron. It looks like it could be Cody Kessler, who they worked out last week.
Yeah, I would think that that's the leader in the clubhouse, if nothing else, because you can't have a 2020 season without three quarterbacks. Just can't do it. Got to have a third. So I would guess it would be him.
We'll keep you up to date on that all day here on Sports Radio 610. Astros, it is the MLB trade deadline day. Astros sitting pretty. 2017, acquired Justin Verlander. 2018, acquired Roberto Osuna. 2019, the Zach Greinke trade. As we sit right now, the Astros, they're 2.5 behind the A's, 6.5 ahead of the Rangers. Haven't played in 5 out of 6 days, so guys are getting a chance to get healthy. Mike Clevinger has been traded from the Indians to the Padres. The Rangers have traded Mike Minor to the A's. And it looks like Lance Lynn could be traded before we go off the air by the Rangers. The Braves said to be involved in heavy talks for him. So the Astros are sitting in a position where the playoffs have been expanded. They're likely going to be in the playoffs. They're in perfect position right now. The teams chasing them, the Rangers and the Mariners, have already made trades to where they're showing they're not trying to win right now. So you're sitting pretty. You're trying to get guys healthy like the baseball messiah, Michael Brantley, get him ready to go in the outfield, George Springer. Who knows what happens with Justin Verlander, Jose Urquidy, Brad Peacock, Chris Davinsky. A lot of guys are coming. You're going to add a lot of pieces to your team. Astros sitting very pretty. This is the first time in a while they really don't need to make a move. And with what the market is right now, it probably doesn't make sense for them. But they're sitting in a very, very, very good spot right now, the Astros are, as other teams begin to make trades. Because the teams that could be a threat to you don't seem to give a damn except the A's.
Yeah, they are. And the other thing is with the way the A's are making moves, they clearly kind of feeling the heat with the Astros. Astros made up a lot of ground in just one doubleheader this weekend. And they're just 2.5 games back now of the A's. But the A's want to, even though both teams make the postseason, the A's want to win the division and have that edge, whether it's a home field advantage or not, whatever it is. And by the way, the A's are still in town. They stayed in town an extra day because they did have that one positive test. Now they all have to test again. So the A's are still in town, so we'll see how that plays out.
Here is James Click talking about the deadline decisions. James Click, by the way, the new GM of your Houston Astros, the Jeff Luhnow replacement, talking about today's deadline as it approaches the mindset of the organization.
They're very active. Whether that leads to anything or not is obviously to be seen. I know there's been some more activity this morning, but we're continuing to pursue all avenues to try to give us the best chance to win the World Series this year. But obviously, we have to balance that against the future and make sure that we don't do anything rash that would put us in a bad position in the future.
All right, so basically, they're just playing it conservative is what I took from there. But we've had some good memories. Let's just revisit some of our best trade deadline memories of the last few years, the best run in Astros franchise history, starting with Dallas Keuchel. Mm-hmm. July 31st came and went, the month of July came and went. Dallas Keuchel not happy that the team didn't make a move for a guy like a Justin Verlander or something like that. Here's the money quote that may have changed the Houston Astros forever.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, disappointment is a little bit of an understatement. Us just kind of staying pat was really disappointing to myself. I know a lot of the guys feel like we can win in here, and I think when it comes down to it, it's going to be we're going to win for each other, and that's it.
And then a month later.
Never forget that day.
A month later, Justin Verlander in town, J-Lo.
Yeah, never forget that day and how it impacted the entire city. I'm not sure. Maybe. Okay, it's on the table. They still would have gotten Verlander because he might not have been public about it, but still been able to try to lobby Jeff Luhnow and others in order to get Verlander or a pitcher like that. But had he not gotten public and put it all out there for the world to see that the Astros were not happy with standing pat, they might not have won a World Series.
And they also had it going nuts last year when they traded for Zach Greinke. Here's Yankee superfan Nick Turturro when the Astros made yet another trade for a future Hall of Fame pitcher, Zach Greinke, last year.
Holy my son just called me. Zach Greinke, who's shutting us down today, is going to the Astros, the Astros. Unreal. Unreal. Verlander, Cole, now Greinke. We are
Well, lost in Game 7 of the World Series, but we still had a good moment there. Rockets, by the way, in action. So you got the deadline, you got the Texans making moves, you got the season approaching. Rockets with a chance to advance and face LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh,
Mike D'Antoni asked by Kelly Iko of The Athletic about not the offense, the defense.
The what?
Of the Houston Rockets in the playoffs.
The Rockets have actually been the number one defensive team in the playoffs, and they were top two during the restart.
Sorry, could you repeat that? I didn't hear that.
I said you always talk about, you know, to want to improve things, and even though the Rockets are the number one team defensively in the playoffs so far.
Oh, I thought that's what you said. I wasn't for sure. I'm sorry.
There we go.
I love that.
Mark D'Antoni got
jokes. Like, wait, what? We have the best defense? Go figure.
Finish off the Oklahoma City Thunder. Avoid getting hit in the balls by those little guards, Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder. And we're talking about a series between the Rockets and LeBron James starting this week. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby can no longer kick the can down the road, according to the OG. And we'll hear from Zach Cunningham. He's much richer than he was before the weekend. We'll hear from him, and we'll also set the scene as the MLB trade deadline continues. A stacked, and I mean stacked, lunchtime next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.